Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. It is a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee when you look outside. Feels like fall because we're in November. And by the way, Elijah, when that Blue Note Juke Joint whiskey gets to the station, I think they're supposed to be sending some. Can you please let me know? I think we're going to need some this week.
Quite possibly.
Maybe no. A long, rough week on the show. So let me know when that shipment comes in. Please don't pass that around.
Oh, I'll try to test it.
Do you think it's
going to
be a long, rough week?
Well, I just think this is going to be kind of the theme all week, right? Until they play again.
Yeah. Some Blue Note whiskey would be good.
I'll test it and make sure it's not poisonous.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you for that.
Be our taste tester. Let's bring in Teron Davenport. Talking with TD. It's his podcast on Wednesdays that drops. Nate and TD's on Fridays here on this station in 6 o'clock hour, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And he is the NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Teron, here is the question for you. In your opinion, which category do you think has the best shot at getting better the rest of the way, basically the second half of the season? Is it things on defense, getting off the field, getting to the quarterback, or is it special teams? How would you answer that?
Wow, that's a tough question. I would say special teams, but, I mean, both. Yeah, that's a tough question. I'll say special teams because
All right.
it's not as layered as the defensive issues are, in my opinion.
Okay, I'm really concerned. We definitely need the Blue Note whiskey right now. We need the Juke Joint whiskey because I asked Chase and Willie this question. They both said special teams. It sounds to me like the theme is none of us feel like the defense is going to get fixed. And isn't that going to be a huge problem if they can't fix it?
It's going to be a huge problem, and this is what the issue is. It's layered. You know, everybody's saying, oh, well, they don't need to get a corner because it's not going to help since the pass rush isn't doing anything.
Sure.
But then, you know, you have other people who are saying, well, they can't cover, and the pass rush needs to get better. It's just there's so much back and forth. And the issue is it's on all three layers of the defense. Because if you look at that game yesterday, and then if you look at the Steelers game as well, and the Jaguars game, and the Vikings game, and the Bills game, well, not as much the Bills game, but the Texans game, there are lapses in coverage, and these things can't continue to happen, especially in zone defense, where on one play it'll be a linebacker not dropping back far enough, and Eric Ebron is able to, you know, go from one side of the field to the other and make a catch. On another one, it'll be a receiver just finding a soft spot in the zone because the corner didn't – like, it's just constant issues. So that's one thing with coverage. But then you've got the guys up front, you know, aren't consistently getting home and impacting the quarterback. And on top of that, when you have four guys who aren't consistently doing it, well, Jeffrey Simmons is impacting the quarterback, but, you know, as a group, those four guys aren't getting there enough. Usually you supplement that with blitzes, but you can't really blitz like that because you don't trust the cornerback. So it's just a collage, I think would probably be the best word, of things that need to get better. And that's why I say the defense is pretty far off from getting right.
Okay, you're a detailed guy. You like to take your film study to the whiteboard. I think there's a lot of people that have the same conversations that you just threw out there. So is it because the secondary can't cover? Is it because they can't get, you know, to the quarterback and create something to help the secondary and winning the battle in the trenches? So are you a guy that believes it's outside, you work from the outside in or inside out? How would you answer that?
You have to work both, to be honest with you. And I think it starts with, and Malcolm Butler did it yesterday against A.J. Green, and I respect that. He came up and he pressed him, you know, and it was physical coverage. And Butler had a solid game yesterday. He, I think, was a bright spot. And I think you have to be able to do that to disrupt the timing, because one of the things that teams are consistently doing is catch and throw, really quick routes. The quarterback makes a decision and gets the ball there, and that completely negates a pass rush. But if you could disrupt the timing there, then that changes things. That gives the guys more time to get home. But then conversely, there are other times where it was, I believe if you go back to, I want to say the Bills game, Josh Allen literally had 6.5 seconds to throw the football. Hmm. And he hit one of his receivers in the end zone for a touchdown. That can't happen. So it's layered. So I can't really say, you know, you address one thing without the other. You have to just universally address everything on that defense. And then, by the way, a new issue was introduced this past game because they were able to, if you look, they were able to bang inside the tackles pretty well running the football.
Yeah, some guys that you wouldn't think are threats running got enough yards to balance it out. That was sort of an underrated part of it. You're right.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, Quentin Spain, I'll say, you know, especially for a guy that got a practice and a walkthrough in, he went in there and he had an outstanding game. He had a couple pretty solid blocks on Jeffrey Simmons, and we know that doesn't usually happen.
He was playing pretty angry yesterday, I thought, or at least motivated or something. I'm glad you brought up Malcolm Butler, because I do think he has been the most consistent guy this year, and I get it. A lot of people think he's inconsistent, and I understand that. Sometimes he plays really well and looks really good, and then he does give up. But at least he's aggressive. At least he's the one that's trying to make a play, and that is the one thing he's been very consistent on all season long. Sometimes it may bite him, but at least you know he's trying to make a play. How do you explain a guy like Kevin Byard, who we haven't questioned really since the day he's been here? Everybody's always praised his film study behind the scenes. He's a leader. Everything he brings to the table, he is identified as one of the best at his position in the league, and yet this year, really non-existent. How do you explain why Kevin Byard really hasn't been a factor in this defense?
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that Kevin Byard was non-existent. I think he obviously hasn't made the interceptions and the big impact plays that we're used to seeing, but even if you watch the game yesterday, he had a really nice pass breakup in the second quarter. And there was a time where, you know, I don't know what covers, like I don't know what the call was, but it looked like either he or Jayon Brown should have picked up Tyler Boyd on a 2nd and 14, and that led to a very manageable third down situation. So I'll agree there are some times where, you know, you look at coverage and you say, oh, that's not the usual Byard that we see. And then there was early in the year a couple of times he took bad angles. But I don't think he's as non-existent.
I think he's not making
as many huge plays as we're accustomed to seeing. But that collectively, this defense is different from what we've seen over the past few years.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a poor choice of words. Non-existent is not the right word. I guess it's just the best way to put it is kind of what I think you were just alluding to, just not to the level we're accustomed to.
Yeah,
but non-existence,
yeah.
The wrong use of
words. That's being honest. You're right there. He's not making as many plays as we're used to seeing. And it just, you know, when you get to a point where you're considered the pinnacle of the position that you play, those are high expectations that come up and you know, that's why you end up in that situation as far as, like, you know, he's non-existent or you know, some of the things that you said.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I want to go back on something you touched on because it's not going to get as much attention, but you're right. I think back to when the defense was playing really well last year, they were really able to shut down other teams' running games. And the running – the sort of underrated part of it is they are getting run on more so too. What do you think the issue is there? Yeah. What are you seeing on film?
Yeah, a lot of it is inside. You know, initially there's a seam there, and then that running back is getting to the second level, and you'll see a missed tackle, and next thing you know, is off to the races. So I think that's the main thing. But then also you'll see sometimes, like you go back to the Vikings game, and Dalvin Cook was able to get outside on some of those stretch plays, and that was because the edge wasn't being set. So there's that's an issue, right? The Jaguars ran the football well. James Robinson had a long touchdown run, you know, up the middle of the defense. We saw what Dalvin Cook did. Now, the Bengals, you know, Bernard, he didn't have an outstanding game, but, hey, he had a 12-yard touchdown run right up the middle of the defense late in the second quarter that really, you know, set the – yeah, it was a huge play.
Jadeveon Clowney only played 43 snaps yesterday, which I think is the lowest percentage for sure that he's played. Was that by design? Did they feel like he wasn't quite 100%? Why do you think that was?
Well, I think that knee is definitely still bothering him. He's been on the injury report over the last 2 or 3 weeks with that, and it has cost him some time in practice. That has to be an issue. But, you know, that's another guy where you have to get more production. You have to get more impact, and it's not happening. And he built a reputation as a player who will give you those game-changing type of plays. And unfortunately for the Titans, you know, they signed him, they got him in here, but he's not giving them that.
Teron, what about you tweeted about this, and a number of people have looked at Adam Schefter's tweet talking about Desmond King from the Chargers. What are we talking price-wise? You threw out the Pierre Desir last week as well from the Jets. What's the temperature, do you think? You know, what would it take to get one of these guys each level? And do you think that the Titans would be willing, if it's a lower-round draft pick, to try to bring somebody else in?
I think a day-three pick gets Desir for sure. And I think it puts you in heavy conversation for Desmond King. Brian Poole is another one you got to consider. And the thing is, if they acquire someone, that's really going to tell what they think of Adoree Jackson, right? This is the last week where they'll be able to make a decision on you know, whether or not he's back. I obviously think he's going to be back, but what it's going to tell you, so if they acquire a Desmond King, a Brian Poole, that's telling you, hey, you know what? Adoree is going to line up at his normal left cornerback spot, and that's what he's going to play consistently. And they'll have a rotation once Christian Fulton comes back. You know, he, Chris Jackson, and King or Poole will be the nickel guy. I think that's how you have to look at it. But if they want to get somebody on the outside, that's where Pierre Desir comes into play, or even if they go for the jackpot and get Stephon Gilmore. Now, if they get Gilmore, you put him, Butler, and Jackson on the field, you match up pretty well with, I don't care what the receiving group is, you match up pretty well. You got man defense, and now you could get extra creative with your blitzes, which they frankly should have done against the Bengals with four guys who haven't really played with each other that much. They should have been, you know, more stunts, more twists, more games up front, different blitzes. But again, it goes back to what I said, the blitzes not having that trust.
Can you clarify what you just said about Adoree, Teron? If they don't bring him back this week, do they have to shut him down for the season? Is that how that works when the 3 weeks is up?
Yeah, exactly. If they don't bring him back this week, he's going to be shut down. That's my understanding. Now, obviously, a whole lot of things have been tweaked with COVID, but, you know, my understanding is that is the case. You have 3 weeks. If he doesn't come back within those 3 weeks, see you later. Back to IR.
Wow. It's something to watch for. On a positive note, they ran for 218 yards. McNichols even had a couple of nice runs. And then I want to ask you, where did they find Foreman? Where did he come from?
Yeah, he was.
I was thinking Chuck Foreman from the Vikings, Teron, going back old school.
Yeah, well, if he had that 44 on, you know what I mean?
Took that he was close.
Number, you might be there. Yeah, he was close, 45. So I guess Chuck Foreman part two, man. He ran like him. You know, he ran really well. They got him. I want to say he was on the street, or he may have been on someone's practice squad. But I know he had kind of bounced around. He popped into the league with the Texans, and he moved around a bit. I remember him coming out of Texas. A lot of people really high on him. And they thought he would actually be what Derrick Henry is. So it's interesting seeing those two rotate. And that one drive, you know, 10 plays, 75 yards, 4 minutes, 59 seconds. 9 of those plays were running plays, and that's what got him all the yards, Foreman and Henry. So I think it might be time to go shoe-to-shoe the way that they did more consistently and just get some confidence, momentum going for this team.
Teron Davenport is with us. He's the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and joins us every Monday at 11. The Titans, in my opinion, are going to have, and I know there's a long way to go in this season, but I'm bringing this up because he's played so well. They're going to have a decision to make about Corey Davis. And last year when they had the fifth-year option decision, we all thought it was pretty easy not to pick that up. But he has clearly found his confidence. He's made big plays for this team this year. Had another big game yesterday with 8 receptions and 128 yards and a touchdown. So at this point in the season, I mean, I know they're not going to do anything until the offseason, but what do you think the thoughts are with John Robinson and company about Davis right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because that's another positive part of this game, and I was going to sneak him in here at some point. So that's a good mention.
You know, I got you.
I think they honestly have to consider bringing him back and strongly consider, but it just like everything else in life, it comes down to the price tag. And I'm just curious because I know there are teams out there that are looking at him and they say, or even that evaluated him when he was coming out of college, you know, and said, this is the guy we want to have on our team. And I think he could definitely get paid on potential. So that being said, with him having these splash games, yesterday was the second best game of his career, right? The best game was against the Eagles, 9 for 161 and a game-winning touchdown. But you saw him catching that ball with aggressiveness, making really good catches, outstanding touchdown catch to drag his toes. So that potential is there, and I think a team may pay him on that. But the Titans absolutely have to consider and want to bring him back because he's a really good complement to A.J. Brown and for Ryan Tannehill in that passing game. Well, and he blocks.
He does.
Can't forget that. Downfield blocking, that's valuable when you have a back like Henry.
So you use that word compliment because that's exactly where I was going. Was that the key for Corey Davis to have, you know, a complimentary back to him like A.J. Brown? And now you have defenses that are identifying number 11 as somebody that they have to stop. And he's had, you know, good games this year too. But was that the missing piece for Corey, that he had somebody on the other side that could take a little bit of the pressure off of him?
It always helps. It definitely always helps to have someone to produce alongside of you. So I would agree. I think the biggest thing that was holding Corey Davis back was the offense, honestly, and the inconsistency from the quarterback. Right. And now that you have a guy, because you know, he's been targeted 10 times in the last two games. You know what I mean? He caught, what, 7 or 8 of the 10 targets yesterday. And the week before, it was 6 of the 10. So he's getting those targets. And now you have a quarterback going to him consistently, you're seeing production. So I think a lot of that had to do with it.
Yesterday, the story was really about the defense and their poor play, but that was a bad interception by Tannehill, as we discussed. Wasn't his best game. But how impressed have you been with his ability to, if he makes a bad play or he has a bad game, that since he's been here and working with Arthur Smith, he seems to bounce back and it doesn't carry over like maybe we saw in Miami?
For sure, and I think that's really just a sign of him maturing as a man and as a football player. He said it multiple times, you know, for him being able to go home to his family, that is really a good balancing act, and he's able to, you know, leave work there and not bring it home and just enjoy the peace of having a wonderful family that he has, you know. So I think that's a sign. And then just having everything just taken from him, right? You look what happened. He was traded. And it was like the bottom fell out. And he persevered through it. So now it's like, hey, man, I'm always going to be optimistic. And he was always, you saw his Players Tribune post, he was always, you know, a half-full guy. And I think it's really carrying over, especially now that he showed that he could lose a lot and bounce back and come out on top.
He is Teron Davenport, the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN TD. Enjoy the press conference later on today with Mike Vrabel, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, appreciate it. And for everybody listening, understand, the Titans are 5-2. They still sit on top of the AFC South division. Don't jump off the bridge. There's still good things in what has been put on tape. So understand that.
Teron, I'm glad you said that because we know that, but we do need to be reminded of that sometimes on days like today, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes you can forget.
TD, you're always the voice of reason. And we appreciate it.
No problem, man. You guys got it.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, talking with TD on Wednesdays and Nate and TD Friday nights at 6 here on ESPN 102.5. The game, we'll have much more on this game. Again, Mike Vrabel coming up at 1:15. But first, yesterday, what a glorious day it was for our state, because sports betting, it's a thing. It's here. And there has never been a better time to find out why BetMGM Sports is the king of sportsbooks. So right now, if you're a new customer, which most of you are, I have an offer for you. You have a chance to win $100 in free bets when all you'd have to do is place $1 on the moneyline wager for Tampa Bay or New York tonight. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just use the bonus code 1025GAME100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. It's that simple. It's $1 to $100. It makes so much sense. And the app is so easy to use. You just download it, search BetMGM in your app store, install it, register, and you're good to go. If you're ready to start betting with confidence and turning big plays into paydays, like I did, then sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Just download the app today. Go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code 1025GAME100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on Tampa Bay or New York to score a touchdown. It's always showtime at BetMGM Sports. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Clearly, you know, the fixing of these problems doesn't seem to be getting fixed with the third down issues. Defensively, what do you see that's going wrong at this point? And do you feel like it has anything to do with just not having a actual defensive coordinator at this point?
I mean, it's the same old stuff that we've been talking about, not being coordinated, you know, a play here, a guy here, you know, but at the end of the day, we just had to be better. I mean, if I had the right answer totally to figure out why we wasn't getting on the field on third down today, you know, I would tell you, but I mean, obviously I got to watch the film, but, you know, you can't start slow on the road, especially against a team like this. We knew that this team was not a bad team despite their record. So we didn't start fast. And it's some good football out there, but like I said, just not consistent enough. Because you had a
bad day. There you go, Kevin Byard, after the 31-20 loss to the Bengals yesterday. The Titans dropped to 5-2. They've lost two in a row. The Bengals now 2-5-1. Next up will be the Bears coming to Nashville. They'll be here Sunday at noon. So that'll be intriguing. I think the Bears have dropped, is it three in a row? Is it three in a row?
I think that's right.
Is it in a row? I think it feels like it's in a row.
I think it's three out of four.
Or three out of four. Is that what it is?
Okay.
I mean, they had.
They're going the wrong direction. And as we talked about, their defense is really good. Their offense stinks.
Yeah, and I don't really think that's on Foles necessarily.
I thought he was terrible yesterday. I didn't think he was very good. He, by the way, he's throwing picks left and right. He looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick or Pick Patrick. Mm-hmm. Honestly, since he's taken over for Trubisky, he's thrown more picks than he has touchdowns.
Has Miami and Dallas announced the trade for Fitzpatrick yet? Because is that coming?
Is Dallas still playing for something? I mean, yeah. I guess that division's wide open, but that division's pathetic. It really is. Like last night, I tried, and I just
hard
I finally
to watch. I had
know
to take a break.
It's a hard watch. Gosh, it's
and
a
I
hard
had
watch.
I had on one. I have two fantasy teams. One of them I had Wentz and Fulgham, hoping for the big night, And I still couldn't get all the way through the game because Wentz was driving me crazy. Four turnovers.
I know. He is – gosh, he is a turnover machine. He throws – he's another one. Like, how long has he been in the league and he's still making throws like that? Yes.
Like, just – it's like, what are you doing? What do you think? It's like, right – how do you not see what you just tried to – I mean, that was
– throwing interceptions in the end zone.
Hard to fathom. I can see why he's driving everybody crazy. And it doesn't take much to drive the Eagles fans crazy.
Not in Philly.
And they still should win that division. They, as many faults as they have.
Agreed.
They're still the best of the four teams.
Did you see what Washington FT put out? They're shopping Dwayne Haskins.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember back when he was coming out of college, I questioned whether he was going to make it. I remember we had a producer we had literally fell on the floor laughing so hard at how crazy that statement was. And I remember saying, I have real concerns about Haskins at the next level. And he thought I was crazy or an idiot or something, but I wonder what he's thinking today about that.
Well, I don't think he's all that either.
And of course, quietly, the Colts have worked their way back into a tie after they look like, you know, there was questions about Rivers remaining the starter, right?
Man,
so they
Rivers.
So you can go through some ebb and flow. I think that's what you have to hope for the Titans, is that there is a little ebb and flow. And as the song said, they had a bad day. It doesn't mean they have to have a bad day next week. They have the power. They have the ability to get better. It all started. The third down is so unbelievable. Like the first drive of the game, you heard Kevin Byard say, we got off to a bad start. That very first drive instills so much confidence in the Bengals, even though they end up only with a field goal. They barely even got the third down. One of them was third and one. Then third and five, and Burrow gets the pass down the sideline to T. Higgins, who makes it's a pretty impressive throw, impressive catch. But that's really the only chance they give themselves. And that was after a false start put them at first and 15. And then there was a second and 15. So it's not just third down. It's getting yourself in position to make it third and long. And so it's second and 15 from around midfield. They get a nice little kick out to Giovanni Bernard. He gets 10 yards back, and instead of third and 10, it's third and five.
Yep.
So it's all levels, right? And then you have a chance to make a big sack on that third and eight from the 15. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's a 45 yard field goal instead of a 33 yard field goal on a windy day. Who knows? But it's just there's so many little things that all connect up. And it's just that's the difference between winning and losing.
By the way, Cincinnati was probably missing their biggest weapon on offense. Didn't even play. They still scored 31. I mean, Joe Mixon is their best player on offense.
He is, but and he's a rookie, and there's going to be up and downs. But
who?
Joe Burrow. I'm talking about Joe Burrow.
Joe Mixon.
No, I know. I was agreeing with you that yes, Joe Burrow is also becoming.
He played great. He's becoming the guy. He made some very tough, top level throws. You know, defense or not, you do have to credit the other guy to some. And that is a lot of the national shows. You try to listen up to what they're saying, and it is incredible. They don't look at this Titans team. They don't ever really get into a whole lot of depth of what's wrong with the Titans like they still do with the Cowboys, right? It's not about that. It's more the story was, hey, Burrow's pretty good. Yeah. That was it.
Well, the problem is the throw that Tannehill made, the interception in the end zone, that's a throw you expected to see Burrow make, not Tannehill.
That was bad. Just bad.
Like I said, I'll go back and repeat what I said in the first hour. That's probably the worst throw he's made since he's been a Titan.
Well, as you mentioned, Darren, they never led, right? So they're down 3-0, and everything's fine. They cruise right down the field against a suspect defense, and you're like, okay, punch it in right here. You're up 7-3. You settle in. And then that pass happens, and again, it fuels Cincinnati's belief. Hey, we're hanging around. We're hanging in this. And then they get a stop, get the ball back, drive right down again into field goal range, and then miss the field goal.
I mean, it was 10 points, you know, left on the board that, or off the board That would have made a huge difference. I'm not saying that they win the game if they score that touchdown and that field goal. I mean, it was, you know, 50-plus, first time he's missed from that range. But you obviously have to put that in consideration. Those points were left off the board. Now, have either of you guys seen the line for Chicago yet?
I have not, no.
Okay.
See, Willie, have you?
No.
I have not looked. So you have it?
I do.
Okay. So do you want us to guess?
Yeah, guess, and then I'll give you a point.
Let's see. Chicago's inept on offense. They're really good on defense.
I forget. Is it in Nashville?
Yes.
It's in Nashville.
That's what I thought.
So load up with the beer, even though the same amount of Chicago fans will not
be coming. Go to the grocery store before they all come in. Still,
because they're gonna clean us out of alcohol. I'm going to say Titans by 4. That may be
Willie?
Too low. That may be
Willie?
Too low.
I'll say 4.5.
Oh, you did the Price is Right on
you
it.
Did
nice.
The Price is Right.
Way to bet up.
You're both.
Well, I could be wrong. It could be 3.5. I was either going to say 3.5 or 4.5 before you even said 4.
You're both a little low.
I think it's low. Yeah, I think it's. I was going to say my first gut feeling was 6.5.
Well, 6. It's 5.5.
Okay.
So Titans by 5.5. And so I saw that.
I win. I win. Price is Right style. I get to go to the showcase show.
Come on up.
You did.
Come up on stage.
That to me, I mean, they're both obviously 5-win teams. So you have to factor that in. But on paper, Tennessee's a better team. But which Tennessee is going to show up? And I hate that we're asking that question at this point, but now we are after, you know, the first half against Pittsburgh and then the entire game yesterday against Cincinnati. I mean, this truly is at times a Jekyll and Hyde team. And we had a texter earlier that didn't leave their name, but they brought up a very good point that now at this point in the season, teams that have so much film on them, they're seeing like, okay, well, there's something we can take advantage of. All right, there's something we can take advantage of. All right, there's something we can take advantage of. And I know that every team does that, but the Titans are showing that they have a lot of holes that teams are exploiting. And so when I saw that 5.5, even though Chicago is inept, as you said, on offense, I was like, okay, I was thinking that it might open at 3.5 or something, or 4. Like you originally said. So 5.5, I was like, okay, well, Vegas obviously sees something to make them think that the Titans are better than the Bears.
I figured the defense would keep the line a little bit lower than my first gut was 6.5. And I was like, well, Chicago's D is really good. But, I don't know.
I'm still a little surprised with that, to be honest. We'll see what the injuries look like, and we'll take a deeper dive into the Bears thing. I want to make one more point. Think about this, guys. We just talked about the start. The defense had the obvious issues, but this is what happens, too, when you can't get off the field in the third down. We talked about the first two drives, the bad interception on the opening drive where you get nothing, and then you miss the field goal, which was, albeit 53 yards, and you should get the ball closer. But from there, they got a touchdown on their next drive. Then they get the ball back with only 32 seconds left in the half. And then they only had the ball twice in the third quarter. Right? So from then on out, they didn't have the ball much. That's the other thing. Like, the defense has got to figure out a way to get off the field so the offense can have a chance. They just don't have the ball as much as you'd like to for an offense that good. Did you guys, how about this? I don't know, this again, you have no excuses because you were not the better team yesterday. But I do wonder if they call the 15-yarder on the Humphreys play, and thank goodness we all were fearing the worst, right? And it is a concussion, and it looked like a bad concussion. He really hit his head hard on the turf. But that should be a 15-yard penalty. Maybe you get a crack at a field goal there. And then, I know it was, again, desperation time, but the pass interference call against Malcolm Butler is a bad call.
That was a bad
call. It's a terrible call.
I was going to say this, and this may not be popular. I thought there were a lot worse calls than the no call on the Adam Humphreys. I personally didn't think it should have been called.
The hit?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, when they slow it down, and they did,
right?
And you watch, I just, once again, these guys are not Matrix. This is not the movie Matrix. Okay, when he's going down and two guys are coming in, and he goes down to that level, I mean, what do you want somebody to do when they're already in their motion? I mean, you can't stop in midair and adjust and move. It's unfortunate, but I wouldn't have called it. And yes, it was a scary moment. I thought there were way worse calls. Yes, I agree. I thought that crew was not good. No,
there was some bad calls.
Bad calls. Did not think they were.
And I'm
good.
Not using that good as an crew. Excuse, but
no, it was,
facts are facts. It was a bad.
There were some bad,
bad
calls.
Crew. Yep.
There just were.
I agree with you. Initially, when that hit happened, you know, the knee jerk reaction. You see it in real time. You go that's a defenseless receiver. Why wasn't that called?
But it gets called a lot. That's the point.
Sure.
Even if you look at it, you're like, okay, that could go either way. I just wonder, because usually when in doubt, they are throwing the flag.
Yeah.
Did you see the one that who was it last night? I guess was it the Eagles that got one last night?
I missed it.
They
I had
know,
that
Wentz,
game on. As
Wentz went down,
noise.
And he got an unbelievably. Oh, it was a low hit. They called it a low hit.
Oh yeah, that was
and
yes.
it was above the knee
yes.
where the guy got hit. So
it
that's my
his
point.
Waist.
If it's close, they're throwing the flag.
Yeah.
That's why I on a play like that, I was stunned that they didn't
though.
Throw it.
It's a quarterback. Quarterback
but still,
and receiver.
But the receiver over the middle is the same thing. You're looking for it as the ball's in the air.
Treatment.
As the ball's in the air, as a fan and as a ref. You're anticipating any contact is going to be called. Kenny Vaccaro got called for one yesterday. He was saying, hey, all I did is I pushed him in the collarbone. I pushed him in the chest. He didn't get the benefit of the doubt at all. They threw the flag.
Let's go to T-Dog. T-Dog is calling in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. I love the show, man. I just appreciate you guys having my call today. My question is this, you know, we were talking about the third down issues that we're having with the Titans and all. I just feel like this team has no clue of what's coming at them from the offensive side. Every single time it looks like they're just like clueless. And it's almost when you play with hesitation, you can never anticipate and they can't anticipate what's happening. And so I feel like, you know, I know we've talked about Dean Pease and all that kind of stuff being gone, but they really have nobody that's putting them in the right places to make plays at third down, second down, like you guys alluded to, first down. And so what do you do? I mean, if you don't have Mike Vrabel, he was a defensive, you know, stud. He should be like the quarterback of a defense, and yet they look like they have no clue each play of what's happening to them. You know, and I feel like that's the DNP's effect there, that he's not there anymore. So that dude knows more about football than I forgot, you know what I'm saying, about life. And so I just don't see them anticipating calls coming their way. And I'm just trying to figure out, is that kind of, you know, what you guys are seeing too, or is it just they're unfortunate on third down? I just feel like they have no clue if they're going to be doing a pass play, if they're going to be doing a run play. And it's talking about every team. I'm talking about every team they've played. So, anyways, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call. What do you guys think? Have a plan? Do you think they have a clue of what's coming? I mean, I think, to me, I'll just start then. Didn't seem like anybody want to jump in there.
I'm ready. Good.
The way I look at it is it's not really about what they know or don't know or – if they seem clueless, it's just what we've been talking about. I mean, one, if you can't get to the quarterback and the quarterback is back there popping up a tent and building a campfire and roasting marshmallows and it has all day to figure it out, it doesn't matter what your plan is. It's not going to work. You can only cover for so long in this league. And Joe Burrow had way too much time. They do not get to the quarterback, which presents all kinds of problems. And so I think – to me, I would start there. I would just start with the inability. Think about it. On third down, you almost know what they're going to do, especially in these third and long situations. You almost know what they're going to do. And the fact that you can't pin your ears back and just get to the quarterback or at least apply the pressure to make them get rid of the ball, even if they don't want to at that moment, whether somebody is open or not, to avoid the sack, the fact that they can't even do that, I would say that's just what it is for me. It doesn't matter what your plan is. It's not going to work if you can't get any pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, it leads to so many other things. It's you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, and you're playing pretty soft coverage. And so essentially you make it on so many plays 7-on-7. And there's just the quarterback is not in fear of my timing is going to be. Think about how pleasant that must have been for Joe Burrow, who has been under tons of heat every week.
Carson Wentz has been productive. Have been sacked the most in the league.
Yeah.
They're tied for the most sacks in the league.
He must have thought, man, this game's easy when I'm not under the heat. He just never had to worry about it. And then, of course, the two times they have him dead to rights, they still can't get him, which was baffling in and of itself.
What is it about them bouncing off Cincinnati quarterbacks?
I don't know.
It's happened twice now, at least.
The last two times they visited Cincinnati.
Yeah. How I'll answer that is, you know, and Al Michaels tried to use this quote last night and didn't quite get it right, but Mike Tyson said everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And I think that they've had a plan. They're just their plan is not working. They're not. It's either execution or it's simply just not working. And now, even though they're professional athletes and a lot of these guys have been doing this for a long time, they're in their own head at times. I mean, I think if you're trying to do something, you know that your job is to get to the quarterback and you're not doing it. Aren't you going to spend a lot of time dwelling on why am I not getting to the quarterback? Why is this not working? I'm running the play that coach calls. Why can I not get there? I've been working out. You know, I've been conditioning. Why can't I do it?
It's a good point. I think it becomes mental, right? I think that's happening too. And I would say too, the bend but don't break can work if you get the confidence that we're gonna let him move. The good example
would
be the Bills.
They don't have confidence right now.
Right. The good example was the Bills game because the bend but don't break worked. They gave up a lot of third downs, but they said, okay, we'll give you some yardage, but we're going to make the stop at the key time, or we're going to force a field goal. It really stings when you bend, and then you break. You give up the touchdown, like the one at the end of the half to Bernard. They're not holding him to field goals. And then you look up, and you've had the ball 24 minutes, and they've had the ball 38 minutes. That's what's happened the last couple times. It's just that they're bending, and then they're breaking. Right
now we must break.
We
will do that. On the other side, you're going to tell us what you know. Twic time next. The number is 615-737-1025. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, tell us what you know. It's open-ended. It's easy. It's an open canvas. Just tell us what you know. Best one, 615-737-1025. Receive a $25 gift card. Party foul. Hello. I'm game for that. That's what's on the line for you. $25 gift card to Party Foul. And all you have to do is tell us what you know. Who would like to start?
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. About it? I got two. Real quick. So, number one, yesterday, Martinsville. It is the final race before the Championship Four next week at Phoenix. Kevin Harvick, he's won 9 races this year. Everybody was ready to hand him the trophy. He's not in. Didn't make it. And on the last lap, he gets door-to-door with Kyle Busch, dumps him. There's no other way to put it. Wrecks him, and everybody's going, oh, that's not cool. I have no problem with it. Kyle would have done the same thing to him if he was in that position. Harvick tried. It didn't work. He took them both out. And he misses the Championship Four after winning 9 races. Unbelievable that is the case. But Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, and I'm now blanking on the other one that got in there. But Brad Keselowski.
Yep.
So gonna be interesting. So that's the first thing I know. Second thing I know, I was gonna save this for you. You just made the list, but I'm sure somebody else will tick me off before then. So I'm gonna use this now. You guys know when you go to the grocery store or Target or whatever, if you decide to go to the checkout line, the process in which you do. If you have a cart, you push your cart, you the person in front of you, you know, they have their stuff. They can unload, put it on the belt. As the belt moves, you can start unloading and putting your stuff there with the divider in between, right? Pretty simple process. Except when you have the person in front of you that steps in front of their cart, they don't move their cart. They keep their cart that is empty. It is an empty cart, blocking the conveyor belt, so I can't unload mine. And I understand we're in a 6 feet apart thing. They just left their cart, so I'm having to
take the cart through, slide it through to the other side.
It's very simple. I text you guys.
It's a basic move.
Slide it through.
Go all the way through. Go the one up front. Don't stop at the first one. Go all the way through.
Go through.
And not only did they not move the cart while they're running their card, they just kind of, you know, only person here. Just took their time, you know, loading their cart back up with the bags. And whereas most people, while the checkout process is going, as soon as a bag is full, you put it in the cart. It's a process. Nope, that wasn't the case here. So what I know is, when you go to the grocery store and you check out, think about the other people, move the cart, allow the other person to save time by unloading their groceries as well, and the process will be much smoother.
Okay. Willie.
This is what I know. I've watched a lot of Vanderbilt football teams, and I've watched a lot of Vanderbilt football teams struggle over the years. But this, we sounded the alarm about the Titans' pass rush not being able to get any heat against the team that has really struggled protecting the passer. The way they struggled on Saturday was alarming. And Ole Miss has a great offense, but it's not going to get any easier for Vanderbilt. And so expectations were about as low as you could get for the fan base coming in. And yet, they were sort of aghast. It was way, way too easy for Ole Miss. It was not competitive. And that's a problem, especially when you look on the horizon. Ken Seals is a nice quarterback, but they have so few players right now that look like they belong in the SEC. It just looks like some of the teams that coaches coming to the end of the rope look like. And so I think the seat is very, very hot for Derek Mason. I hate to say it, I think we're all huge fans of Derek Mason. I've been really supportive of him, but you know, it's hit a new low after that game.
Okay, we will certainly discuss that a little bit later in the program for sure. This is what I know. The Saints are going to trade linebacker Kiko Alonso to the 49ers for linebacker Quan Alexander, and I guess there'll be more a part of that. That is according to Tom Pelissero. Also, if you're watching the Clemson-Boston College game on Saturday, this is a cool This Is What I Know.
Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center. A 4-2, and he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on 4th and 2? He has played every position growing up, from prep quarterback, receiver. He's pulled off multiple takes.
Defense with contact. 5-yard penalty results in the first down.
And he did it here. He split out the tight end, went under center, played quarterback, and drew Clemson offsides. Wow.
There you go. A play-by-play guy getting to call his son. Willie, can you imagine doing that? Like, how cool that must have been, that moment for Joe Tessitore.
I have imagined it. In fact, my demo tape to get myself my first job in this industry was a game of my brother's, a high school basketball game. So I have actually done it. And you guys know George. George laughed at me because at one point in the broadcast, of course, I was just kid right out of, you know, I was a senior in college, basically. I said at one point to my color announcer, who was also a good friend of the family, I said, I know he's my brother. But man, that was a great play. And George just started laughing because, no, you cannot do that. Like, Joe Tessitore, you could see, was very self-conscious about
sure.
not.
Yeah.
And when they came back in the second half, you know, they had just interviewed the BC coach, and Joe Tessitore was careful to say, well, the dad right now is just the play-by-play announcer for this game. Like, he's trying to tell everybody, I'm going to remain professional. Yeah, I thought he did a great job.
McElroy, I love, because Joe wasn't going to touch it. Joe was being professional.
They did a great job at that.
McElroy said, you could hear him, I think, banging on the glass that's in between them, the plexiglass. But Greg McElroy saying, yeah, there's a proud dad right now, huh? How long did the scouting report take you on that young man?
Yeah, I thought that was well done. That's pretty cool.
All right.
I gave you a trade in the NFL. Let's give you another one. Let's hit the breaking news sounder. Elijah, if you've got it, to put you on the spot. Well, Chase, this is what I know. You're wrong.
I know.
They did it.
You're wrong. You've been saying it for weeks that John Robinson would not do anything at the deadline, which is tomorrow afternoon, and you're wrong.
Because
John Robinson has struck a deal with the Chargers, who can't close out anybody. And I guess they're going to blame the players and not the coaches, at least for now, because they have now lost three leads this year of leading by 17 or more points. They are 0-3 when leading by 17 or more points. The rest of the league is 52-4. They have traded cornerback Desmond Kean to the Titans for a sixth-round pick. Kean will be a free agent after this season.
Well, wow. Sixth-rounder. That's what we said would be attractive to them, because remember they got – what did they get, a sixth-rounder for
Correa? They have like three this year, I think, right?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, and they got one for Correa. Or maybe it was a seventh-rounder. I can't remember. But they got a pick for Correa. This is what I know, Nashville. You're welcome. My plan worked.
reverse psychology.
It was all reverse psychology. I said that the Titans wouldn't do anything, and they did the opposite. So you're welcome. I'm here for you. And I'm glad that this worked out.
His Twitter account is @ChaseOnGame. If you would like to respond to that,
yes.
Let's go to Doug quickly, who always has something he knows. Doug, welcome in.
Fellas, this is what I know. You know, by midseason, you know, most teams start separating themselves from fool's gold and something from Genesis diamonds. This is what I know. We've been crying about Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, Clowney, Vic Beasley. Adoree Jackson walking through that door ain't going to satisfy the backside woes of this team. Adoree Jackson's last achievement was 2017 when he won a Jim Thorpe Award. He's not a Pro Bowl ball player. Same thing with Malcolm Butler. You know, if it wasn't for what he did in the Super Bowl, we wouldn't know anything about him. And this dump-in Clowney and Vic Beasley, last time they Pro Bowl, nobody can remember. This is what I know. This defense is bad. They're terrible. And if you haven't separated yourself from Genesis diamonds to fool's gold now, get ready for the long season of people losing contracts and positions getting moved out.
Well, I do. That's good stuff.
Thank you, Doug.
I do want to re-ask one question that was brought up with Teron. I asked him about Desmond King and other defensive backs that might be out there. He said, do you want to look? If they make a move, does it tell you anything about Adoree Jackson's availability? Because I think you need him. I think you need him even with. I think you need him with Adoree Jackson. But does this mean they've got a big problem with Adoree Jackson?
Well, the big problem is he's either going to get activated this week or he's done.
Or he's done. Yep.
This season. I mean, it's that simple. You've got 3 weeks to come back. This is the third week, and he's either back or you're put on IR for the season.
That's what Teron thought was true. I didn't know that.
Well,
I haven't double checked that.
It's because I knew that's what it is. I'm pretty sure. That's why I brought it up.
I hope somebody clarifies that with Vrabel next hour, because I'd like to know that for certainty, because I think this is a good move either way. But can you imagine the rest of the season without Adoree Jackson and how much they'll need Desmond King to help them?
Well, I believe it to be true. That's the reason I brought it up, and I think Teron verified it. So I don't really need to hear anymore. I think it's true.
Because we know Fulton's out for what, at least 3 weeks? He's on IR, right? So that's minimum 3 weeks.
Yes. So I don't know. I don't know what this means. Maybe he's not coming back this season. So you're right. Or maybe this is just a scream for help. Like, we need more help. And Adoree is coming back, so that'll help. And we've got Kean. So we'll come back. We'll start the third hour with Vince Ferrara. We'll head east. We'll talk about the Vols next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.